I've always been really good at just staying consistent and just like trusting the process and just knowing that if I do all the little things right, then eventually things are gonna go my way. And sure enough, they did. I just stuck with it. And as the saying goes, you hang around the barbershop long enough, you're gonna get a haircut.
Welcome to Just the Tip Tuesday, Got Game University's new short form podcast. I'm Mike Edgehouse, and with co-host Ryan Smith, we take 10 to 15 minutes to dive into a subject that will make you a better hunter. Remember, it's just the tip that counts.
This is the Got Game University podcast, fitness series, episode 3. Mike and I are here with Kevin Toy from the Focus Hunting podcast. How are you doing, Kevin?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Well, kind of how we like to start with our guests, we just like to, tell us your story, give us your, your journey to this point. Like, you always loved hunting, what got you into fitness? Tell us about yourself.
My name's Kevin Toy. I'm the host of the Focus Hunting podcast. I grew up in northern British Columbia, so, it's very natural for me to get into the outdoors. My dad was a big hunter, and my stepdad, he was a fisherman, so I did a lot of both. Dove into a lot of fishing in my younger years, a lot of like when I'm late teens, early 20s, a lot of river fishing, a lot of ocean fishing. And as you can imagine, the oceans and rivers that northern British Columbia has to offer. So, I took full advantage of that. And I got into hunting fairly young. My dad, they hunted moose up in northern BC. So I got to tag along with them when I was, 8 and 10 years old. And younger. So, and then did that up north. I was a commercial fisherman up there for a lot of years, and I played hockey. That's kind of when I got into fitness, was training for hockey and stuff like that. So fitness has always been present in my life. It wasn't as evolved as it is now. My fitness routine's pretty it's pretty strict now. I do a lot of running. I do a lot of weights, pretty much, weights in and out every day. And then in 2006, I moved down to Kelowna, British Columbia. And for the listeners, Kelowna is in the southern part of the province. It's the much drier, warmer part of the province. And I got down here and I started working with my brother. And then I started my own contracting company down here. So that's what I do still. I'm a bricklayer.
Yeah.
So now I have a company down here, and I kind of, after a few years, I got into the hunting scene down here and started backpack hunting. My cousin was a big backpack hunter, and he kind of introduced me to that. And then I kind of just fell in love chasing mule deer and elk. And then he's the same guy who got me into the bow. So I only bow hunt now. It was kind of a rough transition into just being strictly a bow hunter. It was kind of one of those things where, you take your bow but you always have your rifle as a backup. So I did that for quite a few years. And then, if you're on a 5-day hunt, you're not seeing anything or you're not getting close enough for a bow shot, then you kind of just like, oh, I'm going to pull out the rifle. So I did that for a few years. And then one year I finally said, screw it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to stick with the bow. And that's what I did. And, that first year was pretty rough and I just stuck to it. That's kind of what I've done my whole life, and I've always been really good at just staying consistent and just like trusting the process and just knowing that if I do all the little things right, then eventually things are going to go my way. And sure enough, they did. I just stuck with it. And, as the saying goes, you hang around the barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. And things just started to make, they started to click. And, it's kind of my process now. And I do a lot of stuff. And I don't, it's kind of funny. Everybody says, oh, you do these crazy, you run and you work out and you're just obsessed with fitness. And I look at my workouts and they're not super strenuous. They're not super long, but they're just, I've always found success in consistency. Mm-hmm. And, that's one thing I learned about myself is that I'm really good at being consistent. So, it's, you don't have to do like when it comes to fitness and bow hunting and just hunting in general, to be successful, you don't have to, you're not going to get there overnight. You just have to slowly chip away at it. You have to slowly, just slowly keep not grinding, but just slowly every day, making sure you're doing a little bit, because eventually those little bits are going to, they're going to add up to a lot.
Yeah. You know, you said, said a term that we're hearing and kind of living by a lot, because listeners know, and Kevin, you know, Luke's up there in Canada playing hockey this year as a 13-year-old. He just turned 14. And coming from the United States, and our listeners may disagree, but until they actually throw their kid up there and do it, it's a different level of hockey playing prep hockey up in Canada versus playing hockey in the United States. Like, it's a night and day difference. And that's kind of the motto, trust the process. You know, I never thought of the barbershop analogy, but that's pretty accurate too. But trusting the process is something that, I mean, that echoes pretty far in your life. Cause I mean, when you started your business, it probably wasn't super successful right away, or even successful at all right away. I don't know, but in, you know, you trusted the process and kept after it. You had a vision. Do you find yourself having that same level of vision with fitness and hunting and trusting the process every day? I mean, like, for example, I'm at a stage, like, you know, I kind of stopped drinking beer and the occasional whiskey at the end of September and have been going at it. I don't have a picture of you with your shirt off like you posted on Instagram the other day on my wall or anything. That'd be a little weird. Although, like, I... not that guy.
Mike would be the guy, though.
I'll get you one of Pete.
If you give me one of Pete, then I'm going to probably stop working out. I'm going to be like, I could take a couple weeks off and be okay.
Yeah. So I'm just going to mention, have you guys seen, so did you know Pete's the new poster boy for Mark's there? I'll send you a picture.
I saw you post
that. Not to throw everything off topic here, but I couldn't believe it when he sent me that. I was like, man, they're putting that old man up on their freaking walls.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it gave me hope that my like shiny head, it's shining so bright, you guys probably need to put sunglasses on right now, but it gave me hope that my shiny head, I could be a poster boy for something one day. And it's like, don't make any rude comment, Ryan Smith, about what I can be a poster boy for. So, but no, like, I, you know, for me, I've my fighting weight now is like between 198 and 202, whereas before I was pretty happy at 208 to 210. You know, I'm really working on that last little bit that I think a lot of dudes have problems with, right around the gut line or the belt line. You know what I mean? Like, everything's pretty good. Things that are supposed to be getting more fit and everything else are. And I'm like, okay, I need to just stick with it. In fact, I looked at myself today. It's like, man, it's been like 4 months. I sure would like to get rid of that bicycle in or two. But at the same time, I realized that it went from a fat bike, mountain bike tube around my waist to like a road bike tube around my waist. And, you know, trusting the process, like when you start something like this, do you have an end goal in mind? Cause I know you're very habit driven, consistency driven, but how about goal driven? Do you find that also as a dangling a carrot in front of you and chasing that goal? Do you work that way as well?
I don't, like, when it comes to like specifically for fitness goals, I don't have any fitness goals. No, I just push harder every day. And I always try to do a little better than I did the day before. And, to go back to your, one of your first questions there. And yeah, I've always been this way. And I've always found, you know, one thing when I was young, I started a business when I was 18, mm-hmm. It was a little construction side business, just fixing fences, doing stuff. And, you know, everybody laughed at me when I did, and I didn't care. I just kept doing, like, even my dad, my cousins, they were all laughing at me, like, hey, what are you doing, right? Like, but mm-hmm. that was just the type of person I was. I always knew that, you know, I wanted to do great things, but I also knew, I found out early that I didn't have any real skill or talent at pretty much anything. And if I was going to achieve anything, it was going to have to be with hard work. And so that's kind of what I've done my whole life. I've just worked hard, and I apply that every single day, 7 days a week. And Like my wife will attest to, it's exhausting living with me, but I mean, you know, it's worked this far. And now, I mean, I'm 45 years old and it's part of my lifestyle, and fitness is no different. And like, in terms of fitness, I don't have any specific goals other than just being a better bow hunter. I put all my emphasis on being a bow hunter. And like, you don't have to train every day to be a great bow hunter, but I do, right? Like, that's just what makes me successful. If I want to punch, you know, as many tags as I've been punching lately, I have to do certain things every year to make that happen. And, you know, and fitness is one of them. So, you know, like I said, I train every day, I shoot my bow every day, I go to work every day, and it's a tough process. It starts early. Like, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I start training, and I like training in the morning because then it allows me time to do the things later in the day that, you know, come up, and then I won't have an excuse. Cause I mean, you know, it's happened to me before, and I know it happens to a lot of guys. They're like, well, I'm just going to do my workout after work. But then after work rolls around and, you know, your wife can't take your kid to soccer, or you got to do the homework with your son, and things come up, and then all of a sudden it's 9 o'clock at night, and, you know, you got to get up early, and it's like, it's just, and then a day goes by, but then a week goes by, and then a month goes by, and then a year, and then all of a sudden it's 10 years. And you're like, man, what happened the last 10 years? I had all these ambitions of getting in shape, and it just didn't happen. So I find for myself, like I said, from the outside looking in, it might look like I'm doing a lot, but for myself, the way I look at it is I'm not doing a lot. Like, obviously the more you do, the more you're going to be able to do in terms of fitness. If you start out by lifting, right, you know, if you do 50 pushups, you keep doing that, you're going to be able to do 100 pushups. And if you run 10 kilometers, you keep doing that, you're going to be able to do 20. So it's a little different. Like, the way I look at my workouts and my training is that I'm not doing a lot, but I'm just doing them consistently. And throughout my whole life, I've got to where I've gotten now in business, just in life. All the success I've had is just because I've chipped away at it slowly, day in, day out, day in, day out, day after day after day, just relentless. And so, like I said, I don't think I have very much skill or talent, but I'm really good at just staying consistent. And it's those little battles, winning those little battles every day, I've found that that makes the difference, and it allows me to be successful.
So, Kevin, I mean, we've talked about consistency throughout this podcast. Do you think that's something you were born with? Is that something that, you know, you just developed through hard work? Your parents made you work, you had to start your own little fencing company, you had to do these things. I mean, what do you think, you know, for these listeners that might be struggling with consistency, what can they do to build that trait so that they can, you know, shoot their bow every day, work out every day, and kind of achieve some of those, you know, those goals that they might have?
Well, goals to me, I mean, like, setting goals and then reaching those goals and then setting new goals, right? And then just always constantly raising the bar. Like, if I set a goal of running 100 miles, that's not going to happen, right? Like, if I've never run before, that's not going to happen. It's just not. I mean, right, like, unless you're David Goggins and, you know, maybe it'll happen. But realistically, it's not going to happen. But if you set the bar to run 5 kilometers, that's an achievable goal. Then you reach that. Then you say, I'm okay, and I'm going to do 10. I'm going to do 20, right? And you just slowly progress over time. It's not going to happen overnight, right? And, like, to me, a successful person is a person who reaches their goals. If you can set a goal and accomplish it, to me, you're successful. Now you've accomplished that goal, you're successful. Now let's raise the bar a little bit. Let's find another goal, a bigger goal, and let's go after that. And then just consistently going after it, you're gonna realize it's not gonna happen. You know, a year down the road, you're gonna notice it. 10 years down the road, you're really gonna notice it. You're gonna look back and be like, man, look what I've gotten done in 10 years, right? Look what I've accomplished in 10 years. And especially when it comes to fitness, like, it's one of those things, especially as we get older, we look at it and we're like, I don't really notice any different other than I'm extremely sore and I'm tired and I'm just hungry and grumpy all the time. But then 6 months later, you'll be like, wow, I feel pretty good. And then a year goes by and you're like, man, I feel really good. And then 2 years go by and then, you know, it becomes part of your life. And that's all part of it, is just, you know, just consistently setting goals and reaching those goals.
So I think Nope. Sorry. Go ahead, Ryan.
I was just saying, so starting small, you know, just working your way, you know, even if it's like with the 5K, working out 3 days a week and building up from there, just, it's a process that you just step by step and it gets harder, you know, and maybe those goals get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it does. And if you trust the process, that's one thing I learned early on in my life. And like, you know, my parents, like, they definitely weren't there for me. My parents were around, but you know, we didn't see much of them growing up. So if we wanted to do something, we had to go out and do it for ourselves. And I mean, that's probably a good thing. I mean, you know, the hardest lessons we learn in life are the ones, you know, the struggles we've gone through, the failures we've had. And I mean, you know, like I was told when I was young, that if you're going to fall down, make sure you fall on your back. Cause if you can look up, you can get up. Right. And I mean, like I've fallen down way more times than I've had any success. So, but the biggest thing is you just gotta, I mean, you have to look at those failures as small successes, right? Cause they're, you know, you're going to learn a little bit from them each and every time. It's like when you apply that to like elk hunting, the first time you go out elk hunting, realistically, you're not going to shoot an elk, right? I mean, you might get lucky, but
right.
You're not going to do it consistently. You're not going to consistently shoot one every year just by getting lucky. Right. So you have to learn from those little, you know, you start to learn little things that the elk do, and you make mistakes, and then you learn from them. Then you go out and you don't do that again. Then you make another mistake. And then over time, those mistakes start to get a little smaller, right? And then all of a sudden it's, you know, you're killing an elk once every 2 years, and then once a year, and then two elks in a year. Yep. So, and it's the same, you apply those same principles to anything you're going to do in life, whether it's business. I mean, if you're starting out, or you want to start a company, you're not happy in your business. I mean, just start small, right? Save up, work extra hard, save up, win the little battles, and just go for it. Just get into it and just set small goals, reach those goals, but always be striving to reach some goals. Don't just reach a goal and be like, okay, well, I'm happy with that. Right. That's good. Like I could look back. Like I looked some of the things I went through last year with my hip injury and stuff like that, and it turned out to be probably the best hunting season I've ever had. And like, I can't guarantee I'm going to have as good a season last year, or even, you know, like a better season, but that's not going to change. It's not, I'm still going to do all the little things that I did and that I know I have to do to make me successful. I'm not just going to sit back and be like, well, that was a really good year. I'm done. I'm good. I don't have to train anymore. I don't have to shoot my bow anymore. I'm still going to go through all the same process I had that made me successful in the past. I'm just raising the bar a little bit more every time, right? Just trying to be a little bit better than yesterday, every day.
Let's talk a little bit about that hip injury, not the injury itself, but how you bounce back from that. Cause I mean, I followed along obviously on your Instagram and saw the whole thing, and we've talked multiple times. I mean, during that injury, it seemed like you still subscribed to, you know, and one of the fitness programs I follow has this motto of more than nothing, right? Like, all right, I have a bum hip. I can't run. I can't compete in that race or that run I was going to do, but I'm not going to sit around and drink Yoo-hoos and eat nachos and watch TV until my hip feels better. I'm still going to do what I can do to maintain some level of fitness, right? Like it's, you kind of went through that process, I feel like, and then you got on the bike and you started pedaling and getting your first cardio in after, you know, some time down. But during that time where you couldn't cardio or run or whatever, you were still doing stuff, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'll never stop. I mean, even I'll just lay out how this all started. So in December, I signed up for an ultra race, and it's the Fat Dog 100, which is 120 miler. I signed up for the 100K part of it. Mm-hmm. And then, so that was in December. In January, the end of January, I ended up having to have left knee surgery. Mm-hmm. So I got that done. And then I know some really good people in town and some great physiotherapists. And they said, hey, listen, like, is this still doable, do you think? And it wasn't a huge surgery. So they said, yeah, with some, you know, if you're focused and you're dedicated and with some proper training, we'll get you up and running here in no time. Right. And then I was just doing what they told me, and my knee rehab went really well, a little too well actually, because then I started pushing it too hard. Mm-hmm. And the problem was my other side of my body was taking over, was compensating for the left side of my body. And I ended up suffering a hip injury about a month out. And then obviously it was pretty debilitating. I could barely walk. I started feeling a little pain and I just kept, like, I was running quite a bit each day, anywhere from like 30 to 50 kilometers a day. And then one day, it was really bad and I just went for a run anyway. And then the next morning I could barely get out of bed. And so I knew right then that it was that part, that goal was out of the picture. But my ultimate goal, like I said before, has always just been hunting, right? This was still quite a ways away from the hunting season. But as it progressed, a week went by and I was like, okay, well, there's still lots of time. 2 weeks go by. And I was like, there's still lots of time. But all of a sudden a month goes by, right? And then we're into August and I'm like, okay, well, I'm starting to get kind of concerned, right? Like September 1st happens pretty quick. And, I want to be in the mountains September 1st. And the week before the opening, I knew I wasn't going to be able to get out September 1st. And man, I was going into some pretty dark places. I started, getting really upset, really grumpy, and just, doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. I put myself in that place. Mm-hmm. But that's the beautiful thing about your family, and that's why it's really important to, to cherish your family and your friendship, because when you get into places like that, those are the people you have to lean on. They're going to help you get through these times like this. And it's funny, like I missed the opener of Mule Deer Archery, which was a bummer. I haven't done that in a long time. Right. And so I figured, I'm not going to get out in the backcountry and go into the places I want to go. So I'm going to take my son out. My son, he was 11 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. And he can hunt up here in British Columbia. You can start hunting when you're 10. So it's his second year with his own tag. So I said, well, let's go out and, we'll try to get you a deer. And that's what we did. I just made the best of my time. I spent some time with him. And it's funny, we were going out one day and we're just like cruising roads where I knew if he got something down, I was going to be able to help him get it out. I didn't want to get into a precarious situation where I knew I was going to get, if we got in there, we're going to be screwed. We're not going to be able to get this deer out at the beginning of September. And where we are, it's hot. Right. And I didn't want to put him through that. I mean, obviously, first of all, you don't want to get an animal and then not be able to harvest the meat. I mean, that's what we're in it for, but I just didn't want him to go through that. So we had to stick to areas that I knew if we got something down, we'd be able to get it out. And we're hunting one day and he missed the opportunity on a real nice buck. And he's 11 years old and he just wasn't ready. And he just, he fumbled around a little too hard and the deer ran away. And it was a really nice, big, tall 3x3 whitetail.
Yeah.
So I kind of said to him, I was like, well, you always, when you're in the bush, you always have to be ready. Like these animals don't want to die. They're not just going to give themselves to you. You have to be ready to go all the time. And he just looks at me with a blank fit look and just says nothing, right? Just like a typical 11-year-old. We keep going and I'm like, it's starting to eat at me, right? Like he doesn't I'm really upset that he missed the opportunity on this beautiful buck. Like I'm kind of getting aggravated.
Yeah.
And so I say to him, I'm like, well, buddy, you might not get another chance at a deer like that, of that quality, for the rest of the year. I mean, they don't come around that often, right? Especially one that's going to be sitting there broadside at 70 yards looking at you. And he just looks at me, same with blank face, and he says, maybe. And I was just like, so I'm like, okay, I just let it go.
So we got good on you. That would just chew at me on the inside if we were hiking around.
So we're leaving and we're driving out and then we go to this other spot and we start walking this old deactivated road and we see this nice, really tall 2x2 muley in velvet. And he drops the thing. And now it's funny, I'm going to tell the story. I've told it a few times, but so I have this plaque above my desk my wife got me, and it's the story of the Chinese farmer. Do you guys know the story of the Chinese farmer?
No. I don't. Let's hear it.
So the story of the Chinese farmer is that there's this farmer, and he's got he lives in a village, and he has a horse, and his horse runs away. So all his neighbors and the rest of the villagers come up to him and say, "Oh, it's terrible. Your only horse ran away. What are you going to do?" And he just looks at him and says, "Maybe." And so 2 days later, the horse that ran away comes back, but now it comes back with six horses. And his neighbors come up to him and say, "Hey, this is wonderful. You thought you lost one horse, and now you have seven. This is great." And he looks at him, "Maybe." And so his son is breaking in these wild horses, and he gets kicked off the horse. And his neighbors come up to him and they say, "Hey, this is horrible. Your son, he broke his leg." And he looks at him and says, "Maybe." A week goes by, and then the soldiers come to the village, and they're trying to get young men to go to war. But he can't go. He's laid up. He's got a broken leg. Mm-hmm. And so they don't take him. And the villagers, his neighbors and villagers, come up to him and say, "This is wonderful. Your kid doesn't have to go to war." And he looks at him and he says, "Maybe." And we're driving out after we got the deer processed. We're driving out, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, right? And it's like, this 11-year-old kid gave me perspective on what's going on. Like, the whole point of that story is, like, we don't have a crystal ball. We can't tell if something that happens now that seems bad is going to be bad down the road, because a lot of things in life that we think at the time are really bad end up being really good, and a lot of the things that are really good end up being not so good. So we don't have the perspective to see what something that happens to us now is going to be good or bad. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And then, you know, we went home, and I just regrouped, and I said, "You know what? Obviously I'm not going to be able to get into the places I normally go. Mm-hmm. I know of other areas where I can go hunt. I'm going to go hunt those areas, and I'm going to use the tools that I've learned over the years. And I'm going to apply them to places I can go." And I did it. And 2 weeks later, I killed a nice 6x6. And I went on, like I said, I went on to have one of the best hunting seasons I've ever had in my life. And it goes back to, like, me just trusting the process and just knowing that all the things that I did, everything else I could have did all year and the years before that, I was still checking those boxes off to make it happen. It wasn't, you know, there was no time where I said, where I don't allow myself the opportunity to question whether I did enough at the time to where it's going to help me out later in life.
I love that story. That's solid. I've had many hunting experiences with Luke. Apparently, Luke and Wyatt are completely different kids when it comes to fumbling animals. As you've heard my tribulations hunting with Luke in the mountains and what that has led to at times, I definitely wouldn't get a blank stare and a maybe from Luke, but I don't know if he'll listen to this, but I will definitely relay that Chinese proverb to him. I mean, I think if that happened with my kid, he'd repeat words that he's heard me say at times and repeat them with quite vigor, and then storm off and regroup himself like 10 minutes later and come back at it. That's just such an awesome story, man. It's great. So let's talk about this idea of overdoing it, right? Like, that came up, and is there a point where, you know, because maybe it was overdoing it that got your hip, you know, running the 30 and 50 Ks training runs or training miles per week that got your hip. Is there that sweet spot in regards to getting ready this early in the season for hunting season? Do you feel there is a spot where people should be thinking right now, or is every day of training for you, even though you mentioned, you know, they're not super intense, but intensity is based upon the individual, right? And they're not super long, but are you putting yourself at the edge of what you feel you can do every day? Or is it more a stepwise process? Like, I guess maybe that might fall under a level of periodization training, like whether it's a weekly periodization, a monthly, yearly, whatever. But are you putting yourself in that red zone where you're like, boy, I couldn't do a single other rep of a push-up or a squat or another quarter mile on the treadmill today? Or are you taking a deep breath and have a level of a plan when it comes to your fitness to get ready for hunting season.
So with the running, I went out and I hired a running coach. I started working with a running coach, and it's funny. My running coach, when I first met him, he's like, "Well, what are you training for?" And I said, "Well, because I gave him my workout schedule." And he's like, "Well, what the fuck are you training for? Why are you training out this? Like, why are you training like this?
This
is insane." And he looks at me and I said, "Well, I'm a bow hunter." And he looks at me like that same look Wyatt gave me, that straight face look, like, "I don't understand what you mean." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a bow hunter." And he's like, "Well, he didn't get it." Right. And then now he gets it. I've known him for a while. We've been working together and he just understands me and my process. And, but when in terms of the running right now, my running is actually, we're building a system. We're basically starting from scratch and we're working up and I run 3 times a week and it's set out by him, what I run, what zones I run in. Mm-hmm. So that is out of my control. And it's funny because the second day in, I was like, "This, I'm going all out."
Yeah.
And man, he tore a strip out of me. He yelled at me and I felt like I was in grade school again. I was like, "Oh my God, my dad never yelled at me this bad." So, with the running, no, it's structured and it's kind of, I've just learned to, if I'm going to get to where I want to go, I'm going to have to ask for help, which is really hard to do for me in life and especially training. But in terms of like my day-to-day training, mm-hmm. I push pretty hard. I always try to do a little bit better than yesterday. And it doesn't always mm-hmm. happen. Like I always mm-hmm. try to do one more rep, or I'm always trying to add a little bit of weight depending mm-hmm. on what I'm doing. Cause I'll do, so I train each body part twice a week. Okay. Some days are heavy days. Some days are light, high rep days, but I'll always mm-hmm. try to outdo my workout before. And like I said, it's unrealistic to think that you're going to go in there every day and like just be able to bench press or do more push-ups or do more pull-ups or mm-hmm. do whatever it is you're doing more than you did the time before. Because I mean, number one, you know, life gets busy, right? I mean, so much of your fitness is dependent on your recovery, which is sleep, which is, I'm terrible at sleep. I don't sleep mm-hmm. highly enough. In your diet, making sure you get, you know, the proper macros, proteins and stuff to build muscle.
Yep.
And alcohol, and make sure that I do drink, but not very mm-hmm. often. You know, I might have a couple beer maybe twice a month. I don't drink a lot. I mean, when I was younger, sure, I got after way too much like the rest of us.
Yep.
But so I mean, for the people who are getting into it, the biggest thing is just starting, and you need to find something you like to do. Don't do what you think you have to do because somebody else is doing. Do what you love to do, because if mm-hmm. you're not, if you don't find something that you actually enjoy doing, you're not going to do it. You're not going to be consistent at whatever. If you like doing yoga and going for walks, then do that. Just do it consistently.
Yeah.
Don't do it for a month and then not do it anymore, thinking you're not going to get there. Because as your runs are going to, if you're going for a walk every day, your walks are going to get longer. You're going to start walking incline. You're going to start doing something naturally that's going to push you a little bit. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. But you have to find something you love to do. If you love doing CrossFit, then do CrossFit. Like if you love to swim, swim. You have to find something you love to do, because if you're just doing it because you think that's what you have to do, that's not a good reason. You have to find something you really enjoy to do it. And then that will help you be consistent. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing about training, is just being consistent.
That's great. I have so many friends that are like, "I hate going to the gym because I hate the treadmill," you know, and they have already put that, you know, you go to the gym, you have to be on the treadmill some, you know, and so it makes it hard to go. And so I love that you're like, do what you love. Like if you hate the treadmill, don't do the treadmill, like do yoga, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, do whatever, man. If you like to rock, rock. If you like, I don't rock. I hate rocking. I'll go for a run. No problem. I lift traditional weights and I run, but that's what I love to do. And I do it consistently, you know, every day, 52 weeks a year. It's just what I do. And like, for me, when it comes like in terms of hunting or just really doing anything I want. I'm 45 years old. If I want to go try to keep up with the 26 year old that's worked with me, I have no problem doing that. But like, that's just me. Everybody's wants, needs are a little bit different. So you have to figure out, first of all, what you want. Why are you getting in shape? Is it just to be healthy? If it is, great, right? Because mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, if you're healthier, you're going to live longer. And if you live longer, you're going to hunt longer.
Right.
So ultimately, you're going to be a better off hunt. You're going to be a better hunter if you're just healthy and just a better person in general, which is more important than all of it.
So I have a question. So I was listening to a surprisingly a hockey podcast based out of Canada, Up My Hockey, with my buddy Jason up there. He had on, I don't know if you know this guy, he's in Kelowna, James Wendland. He's a manual osteopath up there in Kelowna.
No.
Trains a bunch of hockey players and stuff, does like amazing stuff with health and recovery. But he was talking about the different zones of training, right? Mm-hmm. So zone one, I mean, that's like legitimately walking from your couch to your kitchen cabinet to get a bowl of cereal, right? It's nothing. Zone two being, like you said, like a long walk. You could have a conversation, you get on a bike and go pedal 10, 15 kilometers with a friend and talk the whole way riding next to the lake or whatever, right? Not hard at all. Zone three, where you're able to get like 8 to 10 words out and then kind of need to catch your breath for a second, then get another 8 to 10 words. And then zone four, the most you can really get out is when somebody comes in, like if you're in your basement in zone four and your wife or Wyatt comes down to check on you, the most like you can muster is like, get out of here. Like, cause you're in a bad place. And zone five is like 10 seconds of the hardest stuff you could ever do in your life. And he proposed this theory, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, that zone three is really a worthless training zone for athletes of any age, right? And you can go into like the beta glycolysis and aerobic glycolysis and the phosphate kinase system, all the different in-depth physiological stuff, which is way beyond the scope of our podcast. But his argument was a correct training regime should be a dose of zone two and a dose of zone four. Those are the most productive training zones. And so where do you spend most of your time in what zone training, if you would have to guess, over the course of your early season getting ready for hunting and then even amping it up like in, you know, boat season, June and July, getting ready for your August and September hunts, does that zone change?
No, like my training doesn't change year round. It's the same. I don't ramp it up for any time of the year unless I'm training for a marathon. That's the only time ramp it up. And like I said, my running is different than my regular fitness routine, my regular weight training. So my weight training is pretty, I'd say it's at a 4 and 5 all the time. I don't go down and just, you know,
you don't go down and lift up 15 pound dumbbells and do like 35 reps.
I'm always trying to do a little better than I did the last workout. And like I said, it's unrealistic to do that every day because some days you're tired, man. Some days I have long days and shitty sleeps. And I wake up in the morning and I'm like, man, I do not want to be down here, but I know that if I just do it, if I put my phone down, I turn the TV off and I just get it done, I'm going to be better off, right? That's checked off my list. It's done, right? And then tomorrow I'm going to have a better one. I'm going to regroup and it's going to be a lot better. But in terms of my running, like my running before, it all depends what I'm training for and running. So right now I'd say it's like at a zone one or two, the running. It's very
like that long workouts type thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot different. It's like, so in the running, the zones are a little different. They're from 0 to 10.
Yeah.
So a lot of right now, a lot of the runs are from like, they're doing a 2 mile at zone four and then, you know, half a mile at zone eight and then down to a walk for a quarter mile type of thing. Right. And it's just a repeating service. Basically, we're just trying to build like strength in that hip again what we're doing, just basically so it doesn't get inflamed.
So in your running, are you just watching your max aerobic heart rate or something like that to judge your zones?
Yeah. So we just watched, like, I know where my heart rate is already. And then, so basically we, that's what the coach helped me with. We got my heart rates down to speeds and stuff. Mm-hmm. So my cardio is like training all year round and being, you know, just staying in shape consistently over the years. My cardio doesn't really, like, it doesn't change a whole lot. It doesn't fluctuate as much as it would be if I was like, only, you know, just going to the gym 3 times a week and then training really hard in July and August. It stays pretty, you know, it stays pretty flatlined throughout the year. So we've built the routine, off the, like, the first couple initial, visits that we did with the running coach, with James.
Nice. So it sounds like you have never really drank the CrossFit Kool-Aid. Is that correct?
No, I'm not much of a, I've done CrossFit. I've gone down and I've got buddies. I know guys that are athletes down in Kelowna here, and they're like, let's go train. Let's go do this and that. And I do it. I mean, I'll do it. It's great to switch it up a bit.
Yep.
But like I said, it's just, you have to do what you like to do. And man, yep. I like to run and I like to lift weights. Right. So, that's what I do. And I do it consistently. And I think if you're just always pushing a little more, just trying to be better than you did yesterday, the day before, you're going to get better. Right. I mean, obviously there's a lot of other variables in that, and it's a lot of work, right? And there's a lot of other things into play that you have to work at to do it. I mean, time is the major currency for most people in life,
right?
When you have kids, right? I mean, you have to find time. That's why you know, it's hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like getting up at before 4 o'clock every day and going down and working out. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather sleep in till I have to go to work. But unfortunately, you know, these are just things I do in order for me to be successful at bow hunting and be successful in the backcountry. And it's really not that bad. And like, you know, I talk to guys and I know close friends and stuff. And I said, hey man, why don't you just try for 30 days, 1 month, 5 days a week, you go to the gym at 5 o'clock every day and just see what happens. Right.
Yeah.
And after that month, it's like nothing, right? They've built a habit. And once you can build a habit, man, that starts making things easy. If you can, you know, if you can find something you like to do and find a time where you can do it, man, it's going to become really easy after you do it for a little bit.
I have that discussion with friends a lot, like, man, kind of like you, Kevin, like, dude, I don't know how you put that damn backpack on and go for those rucks sometime in the morning, because I'm doing this pack out challenge with the Western Hunt Fest thing. And I have a hard time believing that I'm carrying 55 to 65 pounds around up hills, like, in February to really train for August and September. I'm having a real hard time swallowing that still, but now I'm too stupid to quit. I'm 4 weeks in on a 6-week program and like made leaps and bounds. But a lot of people will reach out to me, not just about that, and be like, well, how do you get out of bed and go into your ice ass cold garage at 5 a.m. and work out before you have to drive to work at, you know, 6:30 a.m. Like, I like staying up, you know, I watch my Netflix shows. I'll get sucked into reality TV at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and I'm up till 11. I don't go to bed. And it's kind of like you. I don't say a month. Say, get up at 5 a.m. and work out for a week, and you'll quickly realize that you don't care what the Desperate Housewives of Beverly Hills do at 9:15 at night. You will care more about putting your head down on that pillow, because you know you have to answer that alarm at 5 a.m. and get down into that gym. You know, and it's not always easy at all.
No, it isn't. And I think that comes down to your goals. You have to be very clear and honest with yourself about what your goals are.
Yeah.
Because if staying up and watching an hour of television is more important than accomplishing your goals, then you really don't want that goal that bad.
Yep. I mean, that can go anyway. If hitting the brewery after work and having 2 or 3 pints and an order of wings is more important on Wednesday than achieving your goal, which means you're going to miss Thursday morning, then you're not that dedicated to that goal. But again, I'm not preaching the David Goggins lifestyle. I was listening to him on another podcast, and you know, he said everything he did. Ryan's laughing because I bring this up a lot. Like, he's adamant, man. And I like,
I believe the guy. He's stuck to his story. He's like, everything I do in my life sucks. And that's, it really struck a chord when he said, like, you got to do what you like, right? Like, if you like walking, walk. If you like doing yoga, do yoga. Like, mm-hmm. if you like lifting weights, lift weights. Do it with purpose, intention, and be honest with yourself. But, you know, I can't buy into the do, like, everything in my life sucks. Like, yeah, some of my workouts suck. Like, I will, like, the walk I went on yesterday with carrying that backpack up muddy trails where I was sliding 18 inches down for every 24 inches I went up, that sucked, right? I think I covered 5 miles with actually only 2 miles of distance covered, and that sucked. But then I went afterwards and had a great pizza dinner with my son because my wife's working this weekend. Like, I can't abide to the everything needs to suck. Like, and that's when you said, do what you like. Like, it really, really struck a chord because there's fitness doesn't need to suck, right? Like, it doesn't. No. Doing exercises, like, yeah, sometimes you got to do shit you don't like because it does help push you past barriers. Sometimes it does that. Like, I mean, for me, the reality is, like, I'm not a huge fan of, you know, one-legged squats or whatever they call them. But I also know that if I can achieve a certain quantity and quality of those come July, my August and September are going to be that much better for me. So I'll start incorporating those at a time. So yeah, I do some workouts that suck, but the majority of workouts I do, I really like, you know, and so you saying that really struck a chord with me. Cause I think a lot of people go in and be like, oh, I have to do this stuff that sucks. Like, why do you have to do stuff that sucks? Do stuff that you like, that'll still get you in shape.
Yeah. And I think though, like when as you're saying that, I'm thinking going through my workouts and I don't like, I do a lot of different workouts and I mean, I like them all.
Yeah. But
for me, I know what the end goal is. I know what the achievement's going to be. And for me, the journey is the reward, not the achievement.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but I said before, if I might not be as successful as I was last year, but I'm going to do everything I did and I'm going to try to do it a little better than I did it this year.
Right. You
know, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I can achieve that. And for me, man, I love the process of it. I love, you know, like, I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy being in shape. I enjoy being physically fit. I enjoy getting, you know, hiking that last ridge and getting to the top and knowing that I can draw my bow back and not be out of breath. I enjoy all that stuff. I enjoy being able to pack an elk 3 miles to the trailhead. I enjoy all that stuff.
When the beginners out there jumping into an early season fitness program, they may not love the journey. They may not, you know, enjoy that and fall in love with that until they see the results come hunting season. And then they'll realize, like, oh, okay, well, I'm here because of all of this stuff I did the previous 8 months. And that might make their mindset change that they actually love the journey more and realize that it's the journey that brought them to the place where they want to be.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Well, and I think it's important to, you know, even though you like all your workouts and you, you know, you like all these things that you're doing, it doesn't mean that it's easy. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes we put, oh, I have to like this. And so they make it easy. I mean, it's good to mentally push yourself, mentally do hard things. You know, you're running the 100K. I can't do 100K, but the 55K for me is hard. I don't love running, but I do it because it mentally pushes me and I like that aspect of it. I like that aspect of the mentally pushing me, mentally doing something that doesn't come easy, something that's hard. And so, you know, liking things doesn't mean it has to be easy. It just, or, you know, that it's easy. It means that, you know, you enjoy the process, you enjoy the mental fortitude that it's giving you, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, don't confuse something that you like to do with thinking that it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, nothing in life worth doing is going to be easy.
Right.
So, yeah. But I mean, in terms of fitness, man, 50% of it or more is all mental. That's all it is. I mean, your muscles, when you're doing these long endurance runs, you're going to get to a point and your brain is going to tell you that you need to quit, but your body can keep going. Your body is resilient. Your body will do pretty much anything you tell it to do. And then more, mm-hmm. I mean, eventually you're going to get to the point and it's it's going to crap out on you. But, you know, it's just a lot of it is mental, getting up at, like you said, it's building that mental toughness, getting up early in the morning, because you know that's the only time you have available to get it done.
And I mean, the mental toughness comes into play. It's pretty evident. And we've all, and a lot of, most of our listeners have hunted before. I've only ever hunted with one person that when we've seen animals on two ridges over or whatnot and have to get there, like I looked at that person like, well, let's go, even though we were done. We were both like, we are done for the day. I couldn't do another step. And then you see an animal and you're like, or I could do those other 4 miles to that ridge and go chase that animal right now. Like, I can make myself do that. Like, I've only ever had one hunting partner that said like, no, I'm really done. I'm done now. And like, that person and I don't hunt together very often anymore. I tend to surround myself now with people that are stupid in the woods the way I am, that when we see an elk a mile and a half up a mountain and there's 15 minutes of daylight left, we're like, well, never going to know if we can't get there unless we try to get there. Right. So let's go make some bad decisions.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's finding a good hunting partner. It's whoever coined the phrase, finding a hunting partner is like finding a wife. Definitely. They hit the nail on the head, because it's true, man. Hard to find guys that are willing to get to go into the weeds with you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So we like to keep these things around an hour or so, but I've been ending them with three questions, and I got three questions for you, kind of putting you on the hot seat to get your quick thoughts on this. Let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready, buddy.
All right. Three. Ryan, you can jump in here too. Not with your answers, but with a question. Three most important exercises for hunters to do in the off season.
Oh, for hunters to do.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm the bad guy to ask this, because all the stuff, I know there's a lot of stuff I should be doing that, or anyway, that I'm told I should be doing that I don't do. And I mean, I'm trying to connect the dots. I don't think there really is one. I mean, again, man, it, like I said, and I'm going to stick to my guns. You have to do what you like to do, man. If you want to, like, I just don't see one specific exercise that's going to make you much better than another one. I mean, if there is and I'm not doing it, then I don't know if I can be better, by all means. But I mean, I just can't think of one. I mean, I'm going to stick to my guns. You find what you like to do and just do that. You're going to be better off.
Okay. Okay. Cold tubs or saunas?
Oh, man. I mean, I hate the cold tub.
I've learned to absolutely love me it. Too. I mean, it is such a part of my life now, but like, infrared sauna or 190 degree sauna or cold tubs?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a cold tub, definitely.
Okay.
Number one, I feel like it's a faster, like it's, you get the results quicker, because I have a hard time sitting down for too long. And to sit in a sauna, you have to sit there for a long time, and my brain just races and you're starting, man, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. But when you're in a cold tub, you spend 5 minutes in that awful cold tub, you're good. You're good. I know some guys that are in that thing for like 14, 15 minutes, but
in a cold tub?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Oh man.
I know some guys that dive into that thing, man, and they're like in temperatures that you would think are unhumanly possible, but they've built up tolerances to it.
Oh no.
Wow.
I do like minute and a half soaks, and then I jump into the hot tub for 5 minutes, and I do like 3 to 5 rounds of that. And that's after breaking a couple inches of ice off the top of the cold tub.
Yeah. Do you do your cold tub first thing in the morning, right when you wake up?
So I've done that. So here's a good one. So I like, when I am at my teaching job, it's a 2-hour drive to get to campus from my house. And I had a student last semester that was very, very into cold tubs and stuff like that. And she was very like, you know, do your cold tub one day before you come to work. You'll be amazed at what it does. And I was like, that's like, I get up usually, like I said, I get up at 5 to work out and do that. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'll get in the cold tub at 4:30 in the morning. I'm not gonna lie to you. That was the worst 4:30 in the morning I've probably had in several years. So I get up, you know, I haven't even had a cup of coffee. I'm like, I'll take my coffee with me to the cold tub. And then I'm like, well, this is a bad idea because just for multiple reasons. So I get out and I break the ice and I get into that cold tub. And it was, I mean, it always takes my breath away when I get in the cold tub, but like it took my breath away as I literally, Kevin, rolled out of bed, walked straight downstairs, opened the sliding door, went and jumped right in this damn cold tub. I was in there for maybe 7 seconds before I realized that I was either going to die or like something bad. Like I didn't know what was going to happen. I had to get out and just stand in the cold air because it was still warmer than that cold tub and catch my breath before I was able to go back in. That was the worst experience of my life. I've since gotten better at it, but I can't do right when I wake up. I need a cup of coffee first or like a minute on the couch looking at the newspaper or whatever before I do that. But with that being said, that same student, I didn't tell him I did it, right? I just did it. And after lecture that day, she came up and she was like, man, what'd you do today? Because you were on fire in that lecture. Like you were on point doing all this stuff. And I was like, and that's when I told her, I was like, well, I cold tub at 4:30 in the morning. And she was like, you should do that before every lecture. And I was like, yeah, no, you can't. That's a one and done for that lecture. But
you suck most of the time, but
yeah, there's like, you know, those underhanded comments, Kevin, that you were talking about. That's what that was.
That's what you gave me earlier. Wow, you're really in shape for an old guy.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what she gave me. Like she pulled the rug out from under my feet, but kept me from banging my head on the ground as I fell. So,
I know the cold tub. So the cold tub is like, when I do it, it's, I go in it right away, get up, glass of water, cold tub, get out, and then it would, depending on what I'm doing, it's either like a quick coffee and then a run, or I'll just go into a workout. But I got it. You got to do the cold tub first. But it's tough. Like those cold tubs are tough because here in the Okanagan, like you know, we get bloody hot. Yeah. And like it's impossible to keep that warm cold, and it's like it takes an hour to fill that freaking thing up. So it's like, am I gonna get up at like? So in the summer, I was doing it before the summer hit, and then I just, you can't keep the water cool enough. And then in the wintertime, you can't keep the things from freezing solid. So it's like.
I don't know if you saw I think you did saw the post I put on Instagram. My cold tub, it's a 100-gallon rubber.
Yeah, I got the same one,
Yeah, I got it because you sent me the picture of yours. So I went and picked one. It froze solid, like 100% solid.
100%. Like, mine still got, is still an ice, like still looks like an ice tray.
So then it started to thaw. So I, after I took that thing, like Griff and I poured some hot water on it. Then all of a sudden, like our paver patio started flooding. I was like, oh, why, where's this water coming from? I realized when it froze solid, obviously water expands when it freezes. It shattered the bottom of that.
Oh, did it?
Like there was probably like 85 gallons of water in it. And I mean, it froze solid. There's still the brick of it sitting in the backyard and it's been there for like 11 days now.
Yeah,
I mean it's not good. So
that's crazy that it cracked like that.
Yeah. I thought so too. I'm like, wow, this thing's supposed to be a lot tougher. But I mean, 8,500 gallons of water freezing, it's going to expand quite a bit.
Yeah, so. If it's frozen like right solid, yeah, definitely.
Oh no, I mean it's a 200. Well, each gallon of water weighs what, 8 pounds times 85. I mean, it's 200 pounds of solid ice, and it's very heavy, like. Not really movable, being ice and slippery. So, all right, third question. Beer or whiskey? If you had your favorite glass of whiskey and your favorite beer sitting in front of you, what are you picking up to drink if tomorrow's the morning off?
I drank too much whiskey in my younger years, so I'd stick with the beer.
All right, sticking with the beer.
Light beer.
A light beer, like a Michelob Ultra.
Yeah, I stopped. Like, it wasn't like I love the taste of beer. Like, nothing beats the taste of beer. I just hate, even if I have like 3 beer, I just hate that sluggish feeling I get when I wake up in the morning.
I just can't sleep. Like, the sugar in beer, that people don't realize how much sugar is in beer and how much carbohydrates are in beer. I mean, like, one IPA or pale ale or pilsner or whatever, I mean, 400 to 600 calories. And there's so much sugar. Even one beer at night. Like my sleep is so disrupted. Like I'll fall asleep really well because the alcohol is a depressant and I fall asleep really well and I'm great. And then like, if I go to bed at 9:30, at 11:30, I wake up and I feel like, oh man, it must be like 5:30 in the morning. I got to get up, and I'll look at my watch and it'd be 11:30 at night. I'll be like, oh, and I'm wide awake because the sugar crash has come down and everything else. So like one glass of wine, one beer, anything, like it just totally disrupts all that stuff. And I think, you know, people that are drinking beers every night and stuff like that, like, you know, you got to make your own choice. But I think once you stop and realize your sleep habits with that and without it, you really realize like, holy cow, like I didn't think it was disrupting my sleep that much. Like I usually fall asleep holding a glass of bourbon. But once you get away from that, you realize how good a sleep you can actually have without it and not wake up with any fog in your head and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys that they have a couple beer every night. And they just, you know, they just think, oh no, I'm fine. But I mean, if you didn't do that, like just try not doing it, but you have to build a habit of it. So you got to try it like for 30 days, try not drinking for 30 days, see how you, even if you don't drink a lot, even if it's just a couple beer after work, five nights a week, you know, to take the edge off or whatever it is. I mean, I used to tell myself that all the time too. Right. But I mean, don't do it. Just don't do it 30 days and then just see how much better you feel. And then,
absolutely.
And go from there. If you think that it doesn't change or hasn't had any influence or doesn't change how you feel, then
that's
keep doing
then
it if you want
from there. Yeah. But if it does, then I mean, it opens up your eyes a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Kevin, I've got one last question for you on my end. And it's because I like to run and I like to lift weights. Just a quick go through your week, kind of, you don't have to go through, you know, your actual workouts or anything, but do you lift 5 days a week, run 3 days a week? What days are you running? What days are you lifting? And your order, are you doing chest and tries on Monday, or are you doing like a pull day and a push day? Like go through your week of workouts because I'm really interested.
So we'll start with Sunday because that's tomorrow. So Sunday I do a run on Sunday, and I believe it is mid to high in our that we're scheduled for. Like I said, that part's out of my hand, but Sunday is a run day.
Is that your long run day, or is that normal?
No, that's the longer. That's the hardest push of the run is on that Sunday. Okay. So I don't lift any weights. I do my warm up. I'll do a bit of core and some hip work, and then I'll do a run.
Okay.
Monday morning, I do core, calves, and shoulders in the morning. And then at just before dinner, I'll do legs. And then on Tuesdays, I do core, chest, and back. And then in the evening, I run. And then on Wednesday, I do core, calves, arms, hips, and then that's it. On Thursdays, the cycle repeats itself. So on the beginning of the work, the first three workouts, those are heavy. And then the next three are light. So they're higher weights, less reps. So then I'm back into my shoulder workout again on the Thursday. But now I'm doing it the same. I'm doing the same stuff, different exercises, obviously, but the same body parts. But I'm doing them less weight, higher reps. So on Thursday, I do the same. Yeah, I do the same core, calf, shoulders, and then I run again on Thursday. And then Friday, it's the same thing as it was on Tuesday, which is core, chest, back, and then some hip work. And then on what day was that? Friday. And then on Saturday is calves, core, arms, and hips.
Okay, and then back to Sunday on your long run.
And then back to Sunday's long run. So I run three times a week and I lift every day, and then twice a day on Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay. I guess second question. I said one, but led to a second. When you get to your marathons, do you start ramping up more than 3 days, or is that pretty consistent, just your 3 days of running?
Well, no, like the only reason I'm only running 3 days right now is because that's the program that was structured for me by my running coach. So like if I'm in like 3 months from now, I'll probably be back to running 5 days a week.
Okay, that's.
But I'll still lift the same. I still do my body weight workouts. I just have to restructure my. I do twice. I do every body part twice a week. I do heavy and light.
Okay.
So each workout is around an hour and a half, depending on the workout. And I superset everything. I do everything.
So you can get
pretty,
through it.
It's pretty, yeah, pretty high intensity and to get through it quickly. Yeah. So as we're progressing, as we get into, cause I'm signed up for, I think 3 marathons this year. So as we get close, as we start getting into where, we start developing, I start doing, we'll start testing it with hip strength, with the hip strength test. And as it starts strengthening, then the runs are going to increase. Like then we'll start increasing slowly the duration each day, 3 days a week, and then it'll go to the amount. So like we'll start probably 4 days a week and then 5. And then, but if I'm training for like an ultra marathon, I'll run every day and then take one day off a week.
Okay.
But I'll still, even when I'm still training for those, I still train my body twice a week. Still everybody.
Still hitting every body part. Okay.
Except it'll go from like 16 sets each, you know, down to like 8 or 10 sets.
Okay. Per and you go a little lighter on your legs or something too. On some of those legs, maybe.
Yeah, legs. I don't really lift a lot of I don't really go heavy on the legs just because I'm
okay.
I just work my legs out just to make sure that they're you're maintaining strength because
maintaining your muscle.
If you don't maintain leg strength, you're gonna have problems with your knees. Like a lot of people say, running hurts your knees. It doesn't. It just it's something else is lacking. So you either have weak calves, weak shins, weak quads. You know. A lot of these things that end up failing is because something else is lacking. Like with my, I had a left surgery on my knee, and then my right, I was really compensating on my right side, which I shouldn't have been doing. I should have toned down my training. I should have toned it down, did less and let my left side get stronger rather than just pushing and relying on my right side to take 75% of the load. So,
Okay. Well, awesome. I appreciate it. You have any more questions, Mike?
I'm good, man. I mean, the consistency and honesty thing struck home on this one for me.
Yep. No, it was great. Well,
thanks for having me on, guys. It's always fun to talk.
We'd love to have you anytime. You need to tell me how your ultra goes so I can travel up there and run it. So.
Yeah, there's quite a few around. I'm not signed up for an ultra this year. They're just regular marathons. So
just and regular
small ones with my kids to do. But yeah, I think I got 3 scheduled for this year. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually awesome. I'm pretty excited about working with a coach and then just coming up with a plan and just actually, you know, again it's part of just trusting the process, right? It's just doing the little things, right. Like chipping away at it. I know like right now it sucks. I really want to go. I really want to push it, but I know at the end of the day, if I'm just chip away at this in 6 months, I'm going to be further ahead than I would be if I pushed hard and then ended up having a setback.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Kevin, do you want to tell the listeners where they can find you and follow along on your hunting and early morning Instagram post journey and your podcast and stuff like that?
Yeah. So we're the Focus Hunting Podcast. We could be found anywhere you get your podcast, just type in Focus Hunting. We just started a YouTube channel. So we're putting lots of stuff up on YouTube. So nice. That is Kevin Toy. So you just go to YouTube, type in Kevin Toy, and you'll see some stuff there. I'm actually working on some training, some pretty cool training videos. And we've got a camera guy for this year who's going to be coming along at some hunts with us. So that's pretty exciting.
That's awesome.
And just Kevin L. Toy on Instagram. I don't hit up Facebook too often unless I'm talking to, you know, the family members. That's about it. But yeah, you'll find me on Instagram.
Yeah. Facebook Marketplace.
His Instagram's a good one. Give it a follow. Instagram follow. I like it. So
right on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, brother.
Appreciate it.
I'll be in touch with you in about a week or so, my man.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care, guys.
Thank you. Bye.